Hello there and welcome to Relationship Revelations. I'm Sheila Grace Harvey and today we're going to be talking about Blueprint for Success, how to create more health, wealth and happiness. And, you know, we might focus more on happiness or, you know, one of the things tonight because, quite honestly, the mechanism for creating what you want in your life is exactly the same regardless of what it is that you're looking for. And so happiness is a good one, I think, to focus on. I like being happy. And I found this absolutely wonderful article. It was in a well-being magazine, which is from Australia, and it's on Bhutan and how they are looking at gross national happiness as part of what they feel is important. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of this because I think it's absolutely, it's very different. And I think some of the governments are starting to look at happiness as something that's now measurable. So it says here, are you happy? What do you need in your life to make you happier? A new car, more money, more friends, a stronger sense of community? Is it better health and less stress? Perhaps it's a cleaner environment or more time to do the things you love. Imagine the government making policy decisions aimed specifically at increasing your level of happiness and the overall well-being of the entire country. In the Kingdom of Bhutan, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Since 1972, the King has been creating policies under the banner of Gross National Happiness, or GNH, which aims to allow every citizen of Bhutan the chance to pursue their own happiness with as few obstacles as possible. And for those of you like me who had no idea where Bhutan was, it's set on the western edge of the Himalayas. It's between China, India, and Nepal. It's got a population of around 700,000. It covers an area that's only about the half the size of Tasmania. And if you know how small Tasmania is, it's quite small. And it's a long tradition of Buddhism. And what they've got here, they said the ancient art of achieving happiness through emotional and spiritual awareness and self-control, which is believed to have created the right conditions for the development of a GNH policy. And there are sort of like four pillars that they've looked at or strategies that they think are important to look at. One is the sustainable and equitable socio-economic development. Then there's the conservation of the environment, preservation and promotion of culture, and good governance. And it goes on to say that in capitalist societies, there is a general culture that promotes wealth and consumerism as the path to happiness. Therefore, the more money you have, the more you're able to enjoy all that life has to offer. In other words, the richer you are, the happier you'll be. In fact, it has been discovered that a phenomenon known as the law of diminishing returns comes into effect once a country's wealth exceeds a certain point. Beyond a certain figure, your earnings do not have the capacity to make you appreciably happier. A recent poll in Time magazine found that up to an annual income of $50,000 a year, people's happiness increased. But beyond that amount, the relative increase in wealth did not result in people being happier. In fact, in some cases, they were more unhappy than those in lower income brackets. The country's greatest material wealth also experienced the highest levels of stress, drug and alcohol abuse, obesity, divorce, loneliness, depression, and suicide. Wow, isn't that amazing? And it just deals a little bit with what makes people happy. There are some basic principles of happiness that can be identified, such as having a sense of purpose or reason to live, feeling connected to other people and participating with them in a positive way, having hope, having the freedom to pursue personal interests, having a balance between work, leisure, and spirituality, good physical health, and being connected to the earth. Well, isn't that amazing? A little country really showing up that instead of everything being measured by money, which is, of course, how all the rest of the Western society looks at things, that they've actually think that it is the king and the country's job to make sure that their citizens are happy. I really like that. And because it sounds like it may spread a little bit on hearing this, the US, UK, Italy, France, and German governments are looking at that and how to integrate that into, you know, how they measure things in the country. Well, I'm for one thing, happiness is great. I'd like to give you a couple of quotes here from John Roger, who's one of my favorite people to talk about. He says, guidelines have been presented by the spiritual teachers of all the ages. Guidelines for living your life in your own spiritual consciousness, free of suffering. These guidelines help you handle yourself in this world. Not handling this world well doesn't stop your spiritual growth, but you'll be happier if you're handling it well. So if you want to be happier, it is your responsibility to learn those things that make it easier to live a successful, uplifting life here. That's from his Way Out book. And from Living Love from the Spiritual Heart, he says, you will be happy when you learn to center yourself in your own divine love, love that flows out to all of God's creatures. So stand up in the beingness of your own love and let that love be your connection to all things. When you can enter into loving your spiritual center, it doesn't much matter what the world presents to you. You have the inner resources to create your own happiness and fulfillment. Sounds good. Now, I don't know whether you know this, but happiness actually shuts out parts of the brain that allows us to worry. So happy people don't blame themselves when things go wrong, whereas unhappy people blame themselves when anything goes wrong. You know, they often get into that all kind of thing, it always happens to me, things never go right. They kind of talk in absolutes, like they expect that things are always going to go bad. So I like that happiness shuts out part of the brain that allows us to worry, which is really good. And it's interesting what we focus on, because most of us, you know, if we've been in a situation where we've had a lot of things go right in our lives, say 95%, and there's this one little 5%, which, you know, is some an area that we could improve on. But what we do is we focus 100% on the things that aren't right or the things that don't work well. And by focusing 100% on that small amount, that means that we are 100% focusing on what's negative, instead of focusing what's 95% really terrific and we've handled well. So it's really important to focus on our successes, no matter how small they may be. And I've just sort of put a few things together here on, you know, what are the things that assist us to come into greater happiness? And people who are happy often also feel lucky. So I think that's something that kind of goes hand in hand. And some of the things that I've actually put down here are things like, God is on my side. Have positive expectations. People who are not happy focus on the negative. So if you focus on positive, focus on what you really believe will happen, what you want to happen for yourself. Focus on the good things in life. Focus on the things that you love. It's a good opportunity to place situations, people in the light. Yourself, always remember to surround, fill, and protect yourself with the light of the Christ for the highest good of all. Send that light ahead if you've got some situations coming up or people who are having difficulties. Just listen to that intuition, because I think the more we kind of call in the light, the more we go inside, the more we really, you know, meditate or spend time just in silence, whether that's walking on a beach or just sitting quietly listening to some beautiful music, or just sitting quietly and just going in with our own thoughts, or maybe whether it's chanting or having a mantra, whatever it is that assists you just to come back into the who you are, connecting to the source. Just listen, because often you might find that you're given the information on your next steps. In fact, that's often how I do things. When I know that there is something coming up, for instance, even just doing this radio program, I don't always know until a couple of days ahead what I'm actually going to be talking about. And I might be meditating, and then I'll get an idea of something, and then I'll just kind of like, then I'll kind of look up some books and kind of quotes and things that are around what I'm thinking about, and then I'll find over the next day, you know, I might, a sudden idea of a particular thing that happened to me in my life will show up as an example of what I'm talking about. So, you know, it's also coming into that greater level of trust, because sometimes I think, oh my goodness, you know, it's kind of like the afternoon, I'm going to be on air in a couple of hours, what am I going to talk about? It's trusting in knowing that I'm putting my body on the line, and, you know, that I will have all I need in order to be able to, you know, do the show. So listen to the intuition. Listen. And sometimes that means right at the last minute shifting what I think I'm going to be talking about, because that means I'm trusting that something else more important has come forward and I just listen to that. So another thing about people who are happy, experience positive emotions. That makes sense, doesn't it? Think happy thoughts. Of course, it's easy to say think happy thoughts, but if you're feeling absolutely awful, it's a funny thing to say, but it may be, can you find the humor in situations? I've always loved J.R. He's always said, if it's funny in 6 months' time, it's funny now. We can often look back at situations and see the humor in them, but it's really great if we can get to that place of thinking, you know what? I might be feeling really crappy right now and things aren't going the way that I would like, but you know, it's kind of funny. Just find the humor in it. Because, you know, life's going to do what life's going to do. People are going to do what people are going to do. And at the end of the day, we don't have an awful lot of control over that. The only thing we have control over is ourselves, our attitude to things, and not letting things get us down. Otherwise, every little thing that happened to us, if we let it get us down, you know, would we get up in the morning? So find the humor. Find out what makes you feel good. I mean, for instance, one of the things that I have that's just a real joy in my life is this gorgeous black cat called Bo. Now, I want you to know, it isn't my cat. It actually belongs to the neighbors. Although, having said that, I don't think anyone owns a cat. They don't really belong to anybody. They just, you know, are gracious with their presence and allow us to take care of them. But, you know, she comes in and out, and she's just the most joyful cat. And, of course, cats only want three things. Feed me, play with me, let me snuggle up and have a snooze. But she's absolutely delightful, and she's the most loving, gorgeous little thing when she's in that cuddly, wants to cuddle up and have a snooze mode. And other times, you know, she's constantly crying, yep, because she wants to be fed. And if I give her a little something to eat, because it's actually, you know, I mean, I give her a little bit to eat, even though, you know, she's not my cat. Cats are like that. They have you running around their little paws. You know, they've got your number. They know exactly what to do. And she'll cry half an hour later after I fed her because she'll think, maybe I can get more food. And they're wonderful at just getting what they want. They're very persistent. They just go directly for what they want. But, you know, the important thing is that, you know, there are lots of things in our lives that bring us joy. It may be your children. It may be someone else's baby. Maybe just seeing a baby in the street. I often look at babies and say hello and have a lovely smile. And I just think it's the most joyful thing to talk to a little baby or a little child who just grins and has a beautiful beaming smile. I mean, you know, you can't get much better than that. But there must be things in your life that bring you joy, or someone that brings you joy. So focus on some of those things that make you feel good. Another thing for being happy is keeping your mind open to the opportunities. Because unless you're skilled at creating and noticing chance opportunities, they may just go completely by you. I have in my time spoken to a few people as they've gotten really old, and before they died, in fact. And, you know, the things that they talk about are the opportunities that they could have had, didn't take, and regretted. And life's too short to have regrets. And, you know, sometimes I love the fact that when I was younger, I wanted to go to drama school when I was 17, 18. Well, I knew I wanted to go earlier than that, but I remember having a conversation with my mother, and, you know, they would have liked me to have gone to university. That's what they would have preferred for me. But my mother was very, very, very wise, and I remember her sitting down with me, and she said, you know something, Sheila, I understand that this is important to you. It's not necessarily what we would want for you, but you have to follow and do what you want to do. Because one or two things is going to happen. Either you're going to discover that this is something that you really, really want to do, and you'll be really on track, and you'll be glad you made that decision. Or you're going to find out that it's not what you want to do, but you're not going to spend the rest of your life wishing you had done it. Spending your time wishing is not a very wonderful way to live your life. Sometimes it's better to do things, and even not necessarily in what we call success. It may not be success in the eyes of the world in as much as you created exactly what you wanted. But if it's something that you do, go through the experience and say, you know what? I don't need this anymore. It's great that I've done this. It's not what I want. I'm completing this and moving on to something else. See, that to me is success. And how do you define success? Success can be, you know, defined in many, many different ways. But, you know, what is your level of success? John Roger has a quote here from Wealth and Higher Consciousness. He said, it's important to know what we mean by success and integrity. To some people, success is having a great deal of money, being free, having loving relationships, or feeling good about themselves and their lives. Are these mutually exclusive? I don't think so. It's possible to have all of them, depending upon your choices and your willingness to focus, commit, sacrifice, and share. For me, having a great deal of money without feeling good about myself would be of little value. In order for me to feel good about myself, I need to express my caring for others by action. My experience is also that when I balance my inner needs with my outer expressions, integrity and success are in balance and create a kind of self-perpetuating, nourishing energy. It's good, isn't it? So, we want to be open to opportunities. Then we want to see others win. Now, this is an interesting thing because I know that many, many years ago, I used to look at people who were doing something that I wanted to do but wasn't doing it, and I used to have to find fault in them. Or if I wasn't in the relationship I wanted, I'd see a movie and I'd see one of these happy ever after scenarios, and I go, oh, that's not for me. So inside of us, we know when we're not in alignment with something that we want. And one of the ways is if we cannot look at people who have what we are looking at, or would like a great relationship, couples that are in a good, happy relationship, or somebody who's running a company, if that's what we want to do, or somebody who is just living their life very joyfully in a lot of freedom. When we can get to that place of really looking at those people and honoring them and just really being happy for them, that is a really healthy sign that we're in a place that we can create it for ourselves, because we can never have something at the expense of somebody else. So it's about having a resilient attitude. So if something hasn't shown up for us now, it's just having that faith to know that it will show up. Because if we're holding for something and we allow for no alternative, it will show up. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So it's about seeing the upside in everything, looking for the good in everything and everyone. That's a really lovely thing to do. And I know it's easy for us to get into our little human nature of being critical or judgmental. However, how wonderful when we're in that place where just everyone is just very loving, and you feel loving and I feel loving. It's a great place to be. And that is something that we can do by focusing on what we want to create. And if we want more loving, then we need to be more loving. We want more gratitude in our life. Be more grateful. And in fact, that's the last thing, is be grateful. We talked, I think, quite a lot about that last time. Being grateful is the wonderful way to shift our attitude from the things we don't want into living our life from what is really, really on task for us, on track for us. In the gratitude of the loving, that's what we will give us what we need. The very nature of the soul is happiness and joy. And what we do is we get sidetracked by the materiality of the world. And then what happens is we disconnect from who we truly are. Because when we're truly in that place of loving, when we're truly happy and joyful, nothing matters. And we can just kind of magically walk through life. And so it's about staying clear and loving our expression, watching what we think about, watching what we say, putting out negativity on any level is a bit like a boomerang. It just comes back and hits you. You put out a judgment, it comes back. You put out negativity, it'll come back. You put out wonderful, joyful thoughts, it comes back. So it's wonderful to come into a new habit of what it is that you want to create for yourself. So I wanted also to talk to you about Dr. Martin Seligman, who is known as the Happiness Professor. He's absolutely wonderful. He lives in Philadelphia. And he's been doing decades of research on the science of optimism and depression. And I remember hearing him interviewed, and he was talking about his very young daughter. I think she must have only been quite young. And she was asking why he was always so grumpy, because at the time he'd been looking into depression. He was a psychologist. He was looking into, you know, why do people get depressed and everything. And she said, "You're always a grump." And he started looking at that, and it shifted his whole perspective into, well, instead of focusing on what makes people depressed, how about we focus on what makes people happy and see if we can find the way to switch from one to the other? Now, most of us don't necessarily get, you know, really depressed, but I think all of us have our moments, and it's wonderful to know how we can quickly switch from one to the other. And what he does, he has a lot of positive psychological exercises which can help to reduce depression and increase happiness. And most of this is done in an average of about 15 days. And one of the simplest exercises that he gets people to do is every day to just write three things that they're grateful for. And in most cases, within 15 days, there's something like 94% of severely depressed people decrease their depression quite measurably, and 92% have increased their happiness. In just one tiny little thing, doing it differently. So it's not like in order to shift from one state to another, we have to do something that necessarily takes us hours and hours and hours. We can actually do things, just small little things, that can make huge differences. And that's what we call a small incremental step that if we do consistently can have huge impacts. So, you know, if you find yourself not feeling good, and we all get there, just look at what you're grateful for. Write it down. Three things a day. It's very, very simple. And, you know, you can actually go onto their website. It's www.reflectivehappiness.com. And there are questionnaires which will determine your levels of optimism and what are your signature strengths that you can build on. And that doesn't cost anything. And it's a lovely thing to do. And you can kind of find out where you are on the optimism-pessimism scale. So if you'd like to know where you are at the moment, that's a great way to do that. Otherwise, you can just Google Martin Seligman. So in order to focus where we're going, one of the tools that I find incredibly useful is a blueprint. It's rather like if you're going to get into the car and go on a journey, it's really a good idea to know where you're going. And if you've never been there before, then having a roadmap is going to really assist you. A lot of the times, I think many of us kind of have an idea in our minds and we kind of just sort of think, oh, that's all we need to do. But sometimes writing something down allows those parts of us that assist us to get what we want. It allows it to be give us clarity. It knows that things are important, so it's really willing to support and to assist us. And it's also a great way for you to get a little bit clear on what is it that you want and where is it that you're going. So a blueprint, some people call it mind mapping. There's lots of different ways for it. I like to call it a blueprint. And what I do is put a lovely heart on a piece of paper with lots of sort of spikes out of it or spokes. And what I do is I look at what it is that I want. So you can do this in various areas of your life. You can do it for your everything in your life. I do them for sort of like, I have one, I like to do one which is kind of like amalgam of everything. So I want it, my health on, my spiritual things on it. I want my physical body, my, you know, in terms of energy and vitality, work, pleasure, leisure, the things that I like, so that you've got a combination of everything. And what I like to do is put one that is what I want to experience as opposed to specifics. And I find that that really, really helps. And I think we talked a little bit about this last week. And we want to make sure that whatever is on there, that you do actually not don't put anything that you don't want on there. What you want to do is put on what you do want to experience. So instead of saying, I don't want to work long hours, you know, you want to work hours that may be flexible and give you the freedom to do other things that you want to do. So you can actually put it in a way that will, you know, really support you in what you want and what you're going to. So there is Esther and Jerry Hicks have got a magnificent book called Ask and It Is Given, Learning to Manifest Your Desires. Now, what they do is channel Abraham. And I have to tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful book for many, many reasons. One, because they talk about the law of attraction. They talk about how you create what you want. They talk about the very specific steps. And they also have a section at the back of the book of 22 proven processes to be able to improve your emotional set point. In other words, you know, they, if you're not feeling very good, you know, they have a thing where it says, well, if you want to move up in your emotional set points. So, for instance, this one here is the process of clearing clutter for clarity. When to use this process? When you're feeling stressed due to your disorganization. When you feel you're spending too much time looking for items. When you find yourself avoiding your home because you feel better elsewhere. When you feel that there's not enough time to do all you need to do. So, and it says that it'll be the most valuable to do this exercise when your emotional set point is between positive expectation, belief, and anger. So what it does is it gives you how are you feeling, what is it that's going on, and how you can move up, they call it. Because, you know, very often we can't move from complete depression to total happiness necessarily in one little, you know, one step. Sometimes we need to go for that next emotional feeling, the best emotional feeling that we can move to. And then we can keep moving up and moving up and moving up. What she says here, because she channels Abraham, it is our desire that you become one who is happy with that which you are. And with that which you have, while at the same time being eager for more, that is the optimal creative vantage point. To stand on the brink of what's coming, feeling eager, optimistic anticipation, with no feelings of impatience, doubt, or unworthiness hindering the receiving of it. That is the science of deliberate creation at its best. Which is great. And a lot of the reasons why we don't get what we want, and this is very clear in the way they put this, is because we're often focusing on what we don't want. Every subject is really two subjects. There is that which you desire and the lack of it. Often, even when you believe you are thinking about something that you desire, you are actually thinking about the exact opposite of what you desire. In other words, I want to be well. I don't want to be sick. I want to have financial security. I don't want to experience a shortage of money. I want the perfect relationship to come to me. I don't want to be alone. And, you know, that is so true. I mean, if you're focusing on financial abundance and creating greater wealth and you're aware that you can't pay your rent next week or the mortgage next week, what do we focus on? We focus on the lack. We focus on what we don't want. And it was something that some of the things that I've been working with in my life that I was aware of just recently with my health, and that is that sometimes it's very easy to focus on something that's going wrong in the body instead of focusing on really good optimal health. Like my arm hurt yesterday, and my old self would have gone into, oh, my God, what is it? You know, what have I got? There's something wrong with it. What would I need? And I just, but instead I just held, and I just said, you know what? My body is healthy. Any pain is just an opportunity for my body to clear out something it no longer needs. And I was just able to constantly bring it back into, you know, I'm healthy. This, you know, I'm in really great shape. My body is doing really well. And yet, in the past, I would have been concerned. So it's shifting, and it's a good idea to sort of listen to that mind, listen to that voice inside you and some of the things you hear yourself saying, because it's really often old habitual patterns where you're focusing on what you want and you suddenly hear this other voice and it's talking about, oh, but I haven't got this and I haven't got that, and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? So it's how do you keep focusing and bringing it back? And remember, I talked before about that you have 60 seconds to deflect. So if you find yourself with a negative thought, just deflect it. You have 60 seconds. And then go back into what it is that you want to create. What are you focusing on? You're focusing on happiness. You're focusing on wealth. You're focusing on great health. What are you focusing on? So you can do a blueprint. And once you understand, and this is again from the Ask and It Shall Be Given, once you understand that your thoughts equal your point of attraction and that the way you feel indicates your level of allowing or resisting, you now hold the key to creating anything you desire. It is not possible for you to consistently feel positive emotion about something and have it turn out badly, just as it's not possible for you to consistently feel bad about something and have it turn out well. For the way you feel will tell you if you are allowing your natural well-being or not. Although there is no source of sickness, you may offer thoughts that disallow the natural flow of your wellness, just as you may offer thoughts that disallow the natural flow of your abundance, although there is no source of poverty. Well-being is constantly making its way to you, and if you have not learned thoughts that slow it or restrict it, you are experiencing it in all areas of your life. It does not matter where you currently stand in relationship to anything you desire. By paying attention to the way you feel and by directing your thoughts to better feeling thoughts, you can again achieve vibrational harmony with the well-being that is natural to you. That's lovely. Some lovely things I got out of the book. There were some beautiful affirmations, and like, I am basking in the deliciousness of being healthy and wealthy. It's natural for my body to be well. Even if I don't know what to do in order to get better, my body does. I have trillions of cells with individual consciousness, and they know how to achieve their individual balance. I have only to gently, eventually release any imbalances and illness in my body. It's natural that it would take some time for my body to begin to align with my improved thoughts of well-being. My body knows what to do. My cells are asking for what they need in order to thrive, and Source Energy is answering those requests. My only work is to relax and breathe. I can do that easily. Sensation of pain is a wonderful indicator that help is on the way. I will relax into this sensation of pain because I understand that it's indicating improvement. So it's lovely because, when we think of pain, we think of, oh, my God, what's the pain? But in actual fact, pain can often be a really good indicator, too, of what's going on. And if you really want to get some better ideas on what's going on in your body, if you're experiencing anything, it's just check in with that pain and actually ask it. Just, close your eyes, go in, check in with that pain and see if it's got a message for you. Because pain is an indicator that something may be out of balance in the body. It can be an indication that it's in healing, but it could also be an indication that something is actually out of balance in the body. Maybe you can just ask and get the information. Too often we want to take drugs or, aspirin or dispirin or something to numb it down, but sometimes it's kind of like shooting the messenger. So maybe your body is very wise. Listen to it. See if it can give you some information. Because if we're looking at happiness, we're looking at health, we're looking at wealth, then what it means is being able to look at the things that we have been doing that have not worked for us and have the wit to move into what does. How do you do that? Well, one of the greatest keys that I have used in a number of years that was taught to me by John Roger was to assist me in clearing out some of the old stuff. And it's a process called free-form writing. And free-form writing, it's not automatic writing, so it's not being channeled. It's about literally putting yourself in a seat with a pad, with a pen, putting on a candle, because candle burns negative energy. So you don't want that negative energy that you're releasing to actually go into the atmosphere and into everything around you. So putting candles on is a great way to release negative energy. And it's a good thing to do any time in your home if you're feeling like, you know, there's something not joyful in there, then keep your energy clear in your home. And candles and incense is a great way to do that. Then sit down, make sure that the phone is off the hook or on the answering machine, and make sure you're not going to be disturbed, and just sit down and start writing. Now, I often do this when I'm finding something emotional is coming up for me, if I'm upset at something, or if I find myself getting a little angry at something. If I'm in some kind of an emotional state, and I know that this is something that needs to be released, I will sit down and I will do free-form writing. And the idea is just to keep on writing. It's not about, sort of sitting there for ages. You know, if you don't have anything to write, I put down, I don't know what to write. I'm struggling with something to say. I feel like my mind is blank. And I find that when I sit down, I usually get some very, very good information. Often I cry because I'm releasing negative things. I might get an indication of why I'm feeling the way that I do. A lot of the feelings are often familiar, and they may go to, you know, previous times when we were younger that we can remember experiencing something like that. It doesn't even matter. Sometimes we have things from previous existences, and it's like, I don't even understand this, but it doesn't matter. It's not an understanding process. It isn't about doing something so that you have understanding necessarily. It is about releasing any negative energy onto the page, and then the best thing when you've completed is never reread it. The whole idea is to get the negativity onto the paper, and then the best thing you can do is burn it, being very careful how you do that. If you have a stove, a wood fire, a fireplace, it's wonderful. Some people use barbecues. I often, if you've got a bit of garden, often use it on a little bit of soil where there's nothing that can burn. Sometimes if I'm in a place where I can't do that, I'll get an old saucepan or something like that and just burn it so that it's safe. The most important thing is to keep yourself safe. And that part inside that loves ritual just loves to give it up. Just loves to give it up. And the idea of just being able to write all this stuff down, let it go, and, you know, I can cry, sometimes I can laugh. When I've done a lot of free-form writing, there's been times when I've even found it extremely joyful. I mean, there's no right or wrong way to do it. But as I said to you before, it's not automatic writing. It's about having a wonderful, safe release for negative feelings. As you know, dumping negativity or anger on somebody else isn't really the best option. So it's finding a way that you can actually channel that anger. And once the emotion has released, I usually find I feel really good inside. I feel very much freer. And often at that point, I get tremendous clarity because I've moved out of the negativity and I've moved into a much more loving space, which is where that intuition, that assistance can come forward. And then I often get the information on what my next steps are. So it's an incredibly valuable tool. And I just want you to know that some of the tools that I talk to you about, they sound very simple and very easy to do, but they can be extremely profound. Now, with free-form writing, it's a good idea to do it for as long as you can. I mean, being able to sit down and do an hour would be really terrific, but to start off with, if you did 15 minutes, that would be great. At one point, John Roger made a suggestion, I remember, years ago, and he, you know, to do 2 hours free-form writing a day for 6 weeks. And I was having some challenges health-wise last year, and that's what I did. 6 weeks. And I have to tell you, that's a lot of hours. While I was doing it, I knew exactly how many hours it was because it seemed like such a lot. But the benefit that I got from that, it was just like being able to completely free up a lot of stuff that had been stuck in my consciousness. I mean, if you think about it, so often, you know, when you think of how many years we've had negative thoughts, we put negative things out there. And often in our minds, we can do that endless loop. And our minds go round and round. And then what happens is it's like it kind of spirals down into a negative emotion. Suddenly we have emotions that match it. And all of a sudden, you know, from what could have been one small little negative thought, we end up with these incredible negative emotions. It's almost like we have a little cesspit inside that we've now gone and taken a little dive into, and we're wondering why we don't feel well. Freeform writing is the best way that I know how to start clearing that out and cleaning up inside. It's like doing an internal cleanup, mentally and emotionally and unconsciously. And, you know, just I say this to everybody I work with to do freeform writing, and I know how many of them do and don't do it. And I think that there is sometimes that part of us in the human consciousness that knows what's good for us but doesn't always do it. Like, you know, I know those days when I need 8 glasses of water and I only drink 3, and I know that it's good for me. So we're all at that place, but to me it's just another opportunity to say, you know what, right now I can do better. Right now I can move into what's going to work for me. Right now I can let the past go. Right now I don't need to dwell on that. I can focus on hydrating my body and drinking more. That's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on what will work for me, focus on what's good for me. Let go of the other. Okay, so up until now, didn't do so well on that. But you know what? Great. Now I've got that information. Thank you very much. This is what I'm going to be moving into. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. All we have to do is keep coming back moment to moment, moment to moment, into right here and now, and start afresh. As Christ said, the sins of today are enough. We don't have to bring from yesterday into today. We don't have to take from today into tomorrow. All we have to do is, in this minute right now, come back. Start again. Start fresh in this minute. Nothing else exists. The past has only got us to right this minute right now. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we did or said. Doesn't matter what people think of us. Doesn't matter what we think of everybody else. Let it all go. Just let it go. Come right now and look at, what do I want for my life right now? What's next for me? It's letting go. Another John Roger quote from Wealth and Higher Consciousness, he says, if you want success in your life, it's time to recognize that you cannot change the past. This isn't just 20 years ago. You can't even change what happened 20 seconds ago. You can't change things so your mother or father would have loved you the way you may have wanted them to. You can't change things in the past so you would have expressed love the way you might have wanted to. What a waste of time it is to put your energy into something that is really a bucket of ashes. The past is dead. Why continue to put energy into a ghost? The best you can do with the past is to use it as a reference point, like a scientist does with an experiment. If you need to look at it, do so with awareness, without emotional content. See what happened. See it for information, not for blame or judgment. There may also come a time when you have no need even to look at the past. You can simply let it go immediately, so you have all your energy present for living in the present. And John Roger from Fulfilling Your Spiritual Promise says, you don't fail. You just achieve whatever it is you achieve. You create failure by setting expectations that are never realistic and then beating yourself up when you don't fulfill them. That's called crazy, friends. It is crazy, isn't it? We do get crazy, though, don't we? My goodness. It's really quite easy to achieve what we need. However, it's about constantly coming back into the moment and living from that place, living from the place of greater possibility. So freeform writing is a wonderful, wonderful tool, wonderful tool. So somebody who lost a lot of weight, I asked her what she had done, and she said, well, I didn't have any blocks between me and God. And it's taken me quite a long time to recognize what that actually means. But for me, it was like letting go of the judgments, that there'd be nothing between me and God. So there'd be nothing negative. Because if there's nothing between me and God, there'd be nothing. There'd be no judgments. there'd be greater levels of honesty. Wouldn't that be amazing? So it's a lovely thought about having it clear between us and God, between us and the Christ. And when we come present in the moment, there are no blocks, because we're just completely 100% here and now. It's amazing, isn't it? Very simple. Just come present. So really what we're looking for is being a magnet. If we want greater health, wealth, and happiness, then we need to be those things. We need to set that magnet inside ourselves, and that's where the blueprint comes in. Start putting down and writing what it is that you'd like to create in your life. What are you focusing on? Really be conscious in your creation, conscious in what it is that you want to create. Be clear. Be concise. Know what it is that you want. And the great news about everything is that you can always go into forgiveness. In moment to moment, as you find yourself moving into something that is not what you want, you can forgive yourself and come back again. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and just take a little moment to go inside and look at what it is that we do want. And so what we're going to do is just ask for the Mother, Father, God to be with us, the light of the Christ, that pure white light of loving, surrounding, protecting, and enfolding us with the pure Christed white light. And just take a moment to have a look at your life right now. Look at your life in terms of the different areas of your life. So maybe your relationships. And relationships doesn't necessarily mean a partner that you're in a one-to-one relationship with. Relationships can be anybody. It can be family, it can be workers, co-workers, bosses, neighbors, anyone you have a relationship with and interact with. And it may be a one-to-one relationship. How are your relationships? What about your kids? Relationship with your parents? What about your home? Is your home the way that you would like it? When you walk in, does it feel like a beautiful place you want to be? What about your work? What about your career? Are you doing what you want to do? Do you feel fulfilled? What about your finances? Are you feeling that there isn't enough? Are you worried about security? What about the good things, the fun, the adventure, the romance, the joy? What are the things that you do that bring you joy? Are you doing those things? Whether it's going for picnics on the beach or up in the mountains, whether it's hiking. Is it going to a movie, going to the theatre, listening to music, reading a good book, being with friends? So have a look at your life the way that it is right now. And now just take a few moments to look at what would you like your life to be? How would you like from this moment on for your life to be? Start focusing on what you do want, what you'd like to create for yourself. And all these things can go on your blueprint. And put more joy, more happiness, more loving. Being around people who are mutually respectful, loving, caring. What is it you want in terms of the kind of work. Maybe it's I want to do work that fulfills me, working with people that are inspiring and fun to be with. Maybe you've never thought of work like that before. But take the time and get really clear on some of the experiences that you would like. And it may be, I want work, I want to be in a job where I just love getting up in the morning and going to work. I love what I'm doing. I love interacting with other people that are similar in mind and ideas and creativity and similar backgrounds or whatever it is that's important to you. Maybe you want to simplify your life. Declutter. So maybe it's about having beautiful things around you. Maybe you've got things in cupboards that you keep for best. Maybe it's time to bring them out. Enjoy things. If you want a relationship or an improved relationship, what would that look like? So you can just take some time to really have a good look at what you would like and just take a deep breath in. And just let go. Take another deep breath in. And just let go. And just for a moment, you can just remind yourself to forgive yourself for judging yourself for anything that's come up. Anything that is not what you want. Anything you've done that you were concerned about. Just forgive yourself for judging yourself. For being hard and tough on yourself. Forgive yourself for judging yourself, for not loving yourself more. And remembering at all times, forgive yourself for forgetting your divine. And just know that everyone is conspiring for you to have what you want. God wants you to have what you want. The Christ wants you to have what you want. Christ wants you to be an ambassador of light, living in joy, peace, harmony, cooperation. So let go of the unworthiness, let go of the past, and come into the present right now. And just take the time to look at what you want. And if there's any parts that need forgiveness, you can do that. If there's some negative emotion, you can do free-form writing and clean that out. And just know that you always have the tools that you need to bring you into a greater space of happiness. And when you're ready, you can just open your eyes and a little something for you to do. Another lovely thing that you can also do is, because sometimes it's a good idea to see where you are, and another thing you can do is make a list of all of those different areas in your life and look at where you were, say, 5 years ago, where you are now, and where you would like to be. And just kind of get a little reference point on where you were, where you are. You'll notice some areas of your life you'll think have improved and some may not. And just think, well, what would I like from all of that? Where would I really like to be? Get very clear on what you really, really want. And don't go for what you think you can have. It's time to let go of that. It's time to move into the magnificence of who you really are. Don't be small. It's time to expand be outrageous. You might as well go for it. Another quote from John Roger in Wealth and Higher Consciousness. He says, I don't have to be something in order to be happy. I don't have to go any place to be happy. Happiness is not a destination or an object. To me, it's an ongoing process that either constantly renews itself or at times is renewed by things I consciously do to renew it. What are some of the things I do that support happiness? I indulge in the luxury of just being me, and I only do things that make me feel good about being me. Some might say that's selfish. Well, if you break down the word, one meaning of ish is relating to or being, so being myself isn't so bad. I am selfish enough not to do or say negative things to myself or others. I don't knowingly create problems for myself. As a result, what I'm left with is just me, and that's just fine. Am I special? Yes, as are all human beings. A large part of your success lies in making it just fine to be you. And if your behavior doesn't bring happiness, you have the option of changing it. You don't have to judge it, criticize it, or make yourself wrong, but just observe your behavior, see that it may not be working for you, and give yourself the option and opportunity of changing. What greater success can you have than being happy with yourself? So, God bless you, and move on to greater success, and I trust that you're going to be happier with yourself because you deserve it. God bless. Be Rishbe Shem.